This is a Triple J podcast.
What's it like to lose someone you never knew? To grieve for a life you'd been planning for but never experienced? G'day, it's Angel Parsons with you for another Hack Deep Dive. And today we're talking about something that doesn't usually get a lot of attention, but is probably more common than you might think. Pregnancy loss. Yeah, just a heads up, we're going to be talking about some heavy topics today because for the first time ever, we have Australian data on pregnancy loss. And it turns out it's actually pretty common. Almost one in three women who'd given birth in 2022 had experienced pregnancy loss. And people who've been through this say it can be a really isolating and confusing experience.
I can still hear the ringing in my ears that I had while I'm trying to listen to the doctor speak. And I got a little bit upset. I started to cry a little bit. And she sort of looked at me and she said, oh, I suppose this is a little bit of a loss in a way.
So in a bit, you'll hear from a counsellor who has some advice for you if you've experienced pregnancy loss or you know someone who has.
A lot of women can be looking for answers and blaming themselves, and I think that can lead to a lot of guilt.
But first, Shalila Medora has been speaking to young women about their experiences.
It was a whole different level of pain, and I actually collapsed to the floor.
Laura Baxter was 24 and on the contraceptive pill when she had sudden, extreme pain and bleeding.
I don't know why I didn't seek medical help at that time. I think I just sort of gaslit myself a little bit and was like, oh, it's endometriosis, I'll be fine.
Eventually, Laura got in to see her GP.
Straight away, she said, okay, so you've had a miscarriage. We know this because we found, and I quote, retained products of conception. I know you're taking the birth control pill, so just have a break, have a bleed, and everything will be fine.
Laura went into shock. She didn't even know she was pregnant in the first place.
Going back to that time, I can still hear the ringing in my ears that I had while I'm trying to listen to the doctor speak. And I got a little bit upset. I started to cry a little bit. And she sort of looked at me and she said, oh, I suppose this is a little bit of a loss in a way.
Laura says her GP didn't give her any referrals to support services and treated the whole thing as kind of routine.
Her responses became very centred around the fact that it shouldn't affect your fertility, you should be fine. You know, you can just get pregnant again and this is just a thing that happens.
It made Laura feel like maybe she shouldn't be feeling so sad about this.
From that experience with my GP, I felt like I shouldn't be grieving, that I should just move on.
It doesn't matter whether you're 25 or 35, it's an awful thing to have to navigate. And certainly that dismissal can compound the grief that you feel.
Isabel Odeberg is the co-founder and head of the Early Pregnancy Loss Coalition. She says young people can have a very different experience of pregnancy loss than older people.
When you're younger and a medical professional sees you as not necessarily being at the end of your reproductive journey, they tend to be even more dismissive. Oh, don't worry about it. You're only X years old. You know, you've still got heaps of time.
They often don't have anyone their own age who's gone through it, something Laura experienced as well.
I didn't have any friends at that time or family that had had miscarriages, so I didn't have anyone to talk to from that personal level.
Here's the thing. New data out today has confirmed that pregnancy loss may be more common than we previously thought. The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare put out a national first scoping study, which found that almost one in three women who'd given birth in 2022 had experienced pregnancy loss.
So previously it's been around the one in four or one in five is sort of the two numbers that get thrown around a lot.
But Izzy says today's data might be just the start.
But actually the indication is that it's higher because the only people that responded to that question are the people that then went on to have children.
There's still no solid data on the age or geographic breakdown of people who've had miscarriages, and more research is needed.
There is a lot more work to be done. This is a scoping study, but this is just an amazingly important first step.
It wasn't until, you know, I was 29 when I had my first conversation about miscarriage because a good girlfriend of mine had gone through that and it was awful.
WA TV personality Alex Crisp wishes she'd known more about miscarriage before she'd experienced her own loss.
It's hard to explain grieving something or somebody that you've never actually met, but you had planned your life around.
so she decided to post publicly about her experience.
The reaction to my post was quite overwhelming in a positive way.
Alex's post got heaps of traction. She was getting messages from people from all over the world who wanted to share their own experiences or just send her some love.
There's something really I find comforting in sharing hurt and pain. It's a relatable experience.
She thinks young people's openness on social media and this generation's willingness to confront trauma will create lasting change.
You know, social media can absolutely open the door for that kind of conversation for people who feel like they don't have that in their life.
Hack on Triple J.
And a thank you to Shalila Medora for that story there. And yeah, this can be such a hard time as we've been hearing. So if you'd like some support around this, if you need to talk to someone, help is available through Red Nose Australia. You can call them on 1300 308 307 or there's pinkelephants.org.au. Hearing your experiences on the text line, Jesse in Brisbane says, I suffered in silence through 3 miscarriages. My now ex-husband was unempathetic and disinterested. Thankfully, I had my mum who had experienced it too. We've also got Daniel saying, my wife lost a baby at 24 weeks and it continues to impact her and our family to this day. Look, what can you do if someone you love is experiencing this or if you yourself have lost a pregnancy? Because as we're hearing, it can be a pretty silent, isolating experience for women and their partners too. So we're going to put some of these questions to someone who has these kinds of conversations a lot. Claire Bellhouse is a clinical psychologist who specialises in perinatal mental health and she's with us now. Claire, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
In your work, do you see women carrying, I don't know, a lot of shame around this? Like, what are some of the feelings that can come up, some of the psychological or mental impacts of pregnancy loss?
I'd say the most prominent feelings and impacts that I see are obviously grief and loss, but also feelings of isolation and I'd say guilt and self-blame, probably more than shame. Especially when women don't have answers, which is most commonly the case as to why they've miscarried. And a lot of women can be looking for answers and blaming themselves. And I think that can lead to a lot of guilt. And I think, you know, it can lead to more severe mental health issues like depression and anxiety. And particularly if people are trying for pregnancies again, that can be really stressful.
One of the women that Shalila spoke to talked about this feeling of grieving someone she'd never even met and that was a really difficult thing to come to terms with. Can you talk about, like, can this be a really confusing kind of grief?
Yeah, I think it can be confusing. It can also be a really profound kind of grief. There's actually a term from a therapist called Pauline Boss that is called ambiguous loss and it refers to this type of loss where it's not as concrete and obvious as a person that everyone knows well that we lose. And it's a type of grief and loss that's much more difficult sometimes to process and for other people to understand.
And how much does language matter here from healthcare providers in terms of, you know, giving validation or alternatively adding to this kind of culture of silence that we know surrounds pregnancy loss?
So I think it has a huge impact. And I think the number one thing that, you know, women in a lot of our research have spoken about and what I see clinically, the number one thing that they really want from healthcare providers and from the people around them is acknowledgement of the loss and that it is valid and that it is a real loss. And I think when healthcare providers or anyone really is dismissive or minimising or doesn't acknowledge that loss, it can be really distressing.
You were part of a study a few years ago looking at the role of social networks and friendships for women after experiencing loss. Can you tell me more about that? Like, how important are your friends and family at a time like this?
I mean, I think it's one of those things that really depends on the person experiencing the loss. But generally speaking, friends and family can be really important and really significant in terms of providing support for women. Women also often speak about finding it difficult to talk to friends and family about pregnancy loss, particularly given there is this culture of silence around miscarriage, which most commonly occurs in the first trimester when there's kind of an unwritten rule in our society that you don't necessarily speak about being pregnant until you're past the first trimester. So often people don't even know that women are pregnant before they have a miscarriage, which can make it really difficult to talk to people about.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to hear you bring this up about how a lot of couples want to wait 12 weeks before announcing their pregnancy. We actually have Sam on the line. Sam, thank you so much for speaking with us. You experienced a miscarriage within the first 12 weeks, is that right?
Yeah, I was 10 weeks pregnant at the time I experienced my miscarriage.
And had you decided that you wouldn't tell anyone until those 12 weeks had passed? What were your thoughts going into it?
Yeah, our sort of closest friends and family knew, but that was sort of it. We hadn't kind of told like work or anything like that. So it was sort of, yeah, hard to, I guess, go through that and keep sort of going through the motions after that happened in sort of like the wider community.
So can you kind of understand why this has become a bit of a social norm, or do you think it could be actually contributing to how isolating the whole experience can be?
Oh, it absolutely contributes to it. I work as a midwife, so I see women every day who have experienced miscarriage and pregnancy loss, and you speak to women, particularly ones who are having their first baby, and they always say that it's their first baby but not their first pregnancy. Like, women want to acknowledge these pregnancies. They want to acknowledge that these babies existed. And I think we don't see that enough from healthcare professionals and just the wider community. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to kind of break that stigma of waiting till 12 weeks, because this happens to so many women and we deserve to have those stories heard.
Sam, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experience with us. We really appreciate it. Claire, picking up on some of the things Sam said there, I'm curious to hear how you think this, you know, waiting 12 weeks might be contributing to some of the problems that we're talking about.
I think it definitely contributes to the silence around miscarriage and of isolation. And certainly in the research that we did, almost all women we spoke to said that they didn't really understand the 12-week rule and that they found it really unhelpful. And in future, they would or had told people earlier that they were pregnant because they wanted them to also be there to support them if they did have a loss. I also think it's a little bit arbitrary. I mean, the risk of miscarriage does gradually decrease each week of pregnancy, but there's kind of no magic number where miscarriage won't occur anymore. So, no, even physically, it doesn't really have a strong basis.
So if you do know someone going through this, what can you do to help?
Some of the common things women say, and certainly that came up in our research, are that people really want the loss to be acknowledged and they want people to be able to listen to them without minimising the experience or judging them. They also find practical support helpful at times. You know, cooking a meal, doing something like that can be really helpful. And I think the main thing is, you know, making sure that you're not avoiding them or avoiding saying anything.
Are there certain things that come up in your work that you hear that, you know, you probably shouldn't say, like stuff that maybe isn't intentional but unintentionally minimises people's experiences?
Yeah, I think people are generally very well-meaning and in general they often don't know what to say. But some things I would try to avoid saying are anything where you're putting a just or an only in front of the miscarriage. So, you know, at least you were only early in pregnancy. And I would take the person's lead. If someone is sharing with you that they've experienced a miscarriage, you know, I would take their lead on the language they're using and how they're speaking about it.
I'd like to talk, Claire, about how partners fit into all of this. Do you talk to partners as well? What can the experience be like for them?
Yeah, so I think miscarriage can be really difficult for partners as well. I mean, it's their baby too, but it is something that's spoken about a lot less. And certainly from a medical perspective, you know, partners are often treated almost as irrelevant in that context, which can be really difficult and means they often don't have a lot of information or support that's tailored to them. You know, again, in some of the research Miscarriage Australia has done, that is one of the things men say, is that they often do feel really isolated and that there's no one to talk to. to really about their experience.
Claire, can pregnancy loss have a lasting impact on how someone feels about falling pregnant again?
Absolutely. I think as soon as someone experiences a miscarriage, they lose that kind of naive excitement that other people can have when they find out they're pregnant. I think that is another loss.
And does talking about it help? Like in your work, do you see that people find a way to really live with that grief?
Well, I guess like all grief over time, people do find a way to live with it, even though it doesn't go away. I think talking about it in some way is really important, whether it is with a professional or with friends and family or both.
There would be people listening right now, Claire, who are really grateful to hear some of this advice from you, and we really appreciate it too. Claire Bellhouse, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Thank you.
And yeah, hearing from you on the text line, someone saying, I miscarried our second baby, and it's still a loss we think about to this day, a loss I didn't grieve or even really understand how to. Talking with other people who had been through similar situations helped for sure. It's a strange and very isolating loss that always stays with you and makes you, yeah, wonder what if. This was a story that so many of you responded to on the text line. You told us about your own experiences and what it's like to have a partner who suffers pregnancy loss. I know this can be a really tough subject, so if you'd like some support around this, if you need someone to talk to, help is available through Red Nose Australia on 1300 308 307 or pinkelephants.org.au. But that is all we have time for today. If you liked this story, subscribe to this podcast. We'll have more deep dives every week. And you can follow us on socials at Triple J Hack on Instagram and TikTok. I'll catch you next time. Hack.